Well, I hope everyone is faring well under this isolation that we're in. I'm not happy about it. I'm sure you're not happy about it. But nevertheless, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to bring you the Bible study for Wednesday evening. It's on Tuesday morning here that I'm recording this so that we can get it out to you. And I trust that it'll be a blessing to you. We're going to get back into our study on the book of 1 Kings. And if you'll go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings 19. Hope that you're all abiding by what we're being told to do so that we can get out from under this mess that we're in a timely manner. I just hate that we have to do our stuff by recording, not able to meet together as a church, but we understand what they're trying to do, and at least they've not prevented us from being able to get a message out to you. I know there are a lot of folks that are complaining that the government is shutting churches down. Well, they've not shut us down. They just kind of changed the way that we're doing things. And we got to understand that the nature of what it is that we're looking at is totally different than what we've seen in the past. And I trust that you'll abide by what they are telling us to do, the social distancing, the washing of hands, not being foolish out there. We need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And my wife and I are staying in pretty much. We just go out to get the essentials at times. I know she is trying to, before all this stuff hit, to make sure that we had what we needed. But there are a few things that have to be replenished, and we're doing those things. But we're not sitting around doing nothing. If anything, I'm busier than I was whenever we could meet because I had the additional issues here of having to get a lot of things out differently than what I'm used to. I'm not in my comfortable routine, not in my rut, and I guess that's a good thing. You get changed a little bit out of some of these things, but I can tell you it's different. This is not a vacation for me. It's not a day off. I did enjoy a day off Sunday. We watched probably about 6 different messages online, including listening to the 2 messages that I prepared for you. And I trust that you're listening to the messages and that they are a blessing to you. And tonight, let's get into our Bible study. And we're going to be taking a look here at 1 Kings 19, verses 4 through 18. And I want us to take a look at Elijah's rejuvenation. We see that we have normally seen the prophet Elijah as bold and courageous, but he's now running scared because of the threats of the wicked Jezebel. And in our verses tonight, we see that Elijah was a day's journey into the wilderness outside of Beersheba, where he sat down under a juniper tree requesting that the Lord take his life. We see that in verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Now, I want you to realize here is that Elijah was in a place where he didn't belong. He was acting in a way that was totally out of the ordinary for him. And he was supposed to be somewhere else because his boss, the Lord, and that's, you know, the Lord is the one that calls the shots in our life, and the Lord is the one that has been calling the shots in Elijah's life. And the Lord had told him where he was to be, He had not issued any additional orders to him to go where he has gone here. And so it's fitting that the Lord ask him a very simple question twice in verses 9 and 13. We're going to see when we get there, what doest thou here, Elijah? In other words, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah was not where he should have been. He was out of position, out of character, and out of bounds. His condition mirrors that of many believers today who are out of God's will for their lives. And I trust that's not the way it is with you. As the Lord looks at the mess where many believers have ended up in their lives, He might rightfully ask the same thing of them as what He asked of Elijah. What are you doing here? What are you doing where you are at in your life right now? We saw in our last look at Elijah some possible factors involved in his getting to this low point that we see him in his life. We know he was physically and emotionally drained. He was focused upon his circumstances instead of on the Lord. He had forgotten about God's promises and previous care of him, and he was isolated from other believers. And so last time we saw Elijah here under a juniper tree, basically calling it quits. He says there in verse 4, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Now understand that God does answer Elijah's prayer, but not in the way Elijah was wanting. God's answer was to get this man of God back to where he belonged, back in the will of God. We need to thank the Lord for answering our unwise prayers differently than what we ask for. The Lord knows what is best in our lives. I like the passage of Scripture in Romans 8, verse 26 and 27 that says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So let's see how the Lord responded to Elijah's condition and Elijah's prayer. First we see the Lord recharge Elijah's body. There in verses 5 through 8. Let's read verse 5. "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." So we see here Elijah cried out to the Lord with his request to die, and then he promptly went to sleep under the juniper tree, thinking the Lord would take his life while he slept. I read where the juniper tree is sometimes referred to as a broom bush. A broom bush. It is here that the Lord is going to start sweeping the stinking thinking out of Elijah's life and get this man of God back on his feet physically and spiritually. Elijah was awakened by the angel of the Lord. Some scholars believe that this was a theophany, or more properly, a Christophany, and I do too. It's an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. Now, Elijah may have thought that he was alone, but he wasn't. We may think that we're alone, especially when we are depressed, but listen, if we know the Lord, we are never alone. The Lord tells Elijah, "Arise and eat." I'm glad our Lord knows exactly what we need. One of Elijah's great needs was for his physical strength to be renewed. And so the Lord fed him. Elijah was fed by ravens at Kerith for a period of time while he was there. He was fed by the miraculous provisions that the Lord gave the widow of Zarephath for a period of time. Those two combined being the matter of about 3.5 years. So he's survived off the miraculous provision of the Lord. And now the Lord himself caters this meal to him in the wilderness. The miracle of this meal will be seen in a moment when we see the supernatural strength. He gets some great strength out of this meal. And remember how that Elijah had prayed for the Lord to take his life? Well, instead, the Lord gave him his touch, his provision, and his strength. Elijah lay back down to rest again, and the angel of the Lord came back and touched him a second time. There in verse 7. And we see once again the Lord tells him to arise. And then the Lord told him that the journey was too great for him. Not only told him to arise, but arise and eat once again. And told him that the journey was too great for him. And there are some great insights we can glean from this passage here. I want you to understand our journey. Number one, our journey in this life is always too great for us in our own strength. And that's why we need the Lord as believers. We cannot live in victory when we're going in our own strength. We need the Lord's strength. Ephesians 6, verse number 10, Paul put it this way, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We see the Lord knew, secondly, the Lord knew Elijah was not prepared and equipped to go any farther. So He both touches him and feeds him again. And the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. When the Lord touches us and speaks to our heart, we need to humbly submit ourselves to Him. Now, the Word of God is our supernatural spiritual food given to us to strengthen our lives as believers. And the Lord wants us to continually walk with Him and for Him in our lives. He wants to walk with Him and for Him until He decides that our time here on this earth is done. What kind of walk does the Lord want for us? Well, we know that He wants a walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." He wants us to have a walk in love. Ephesians 5:2, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for His sweet-smelling savor." Also, the Lord wants us to have a walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And the Lord wants us to have a walk being circumspect as we walk, or being cautious as we walk. Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." That word circumspectly talks about, you know, you're guarding around, you're kind of watching around. You're not going to be caught by off guard by something. It's a cautious walk. Then the Lord wants a walk of integrity. And He calls it a worthy walk in Ephesians 4:1. Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." And that vocation is we're children of God. Amen. We're to walk worthy. Walk in integrity. Have a worthy walk. And then we're to have a walk of Christ-likeness. 1 John 2:6 says, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." So we see the Lord rejuvenate Elijah here. And it says there, we see the rejuvenation physically was a very strong rejuvenation. It says that he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the Mount of God. And so that's the second thing we want to take a look at. And we see Elijah headed to Mount Horeb. He ate and drank, and then he headed to Mount Horeb. Now understand that we're not told that God is the one that led him to go there. In fact, it appears that Elijah chose to go there of his own accord. And I say that because when Elijah got there, this is where the Lord asked him the question twice, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Now, the word Horeb means desolate, to dry up, to lie in waste. And that is where we wind up when we get out of sorts with God and out of the will of God for our lives. When we begin to dry up spiritually, we can wind up in a desolate place, wasting our life. I wonder, does that describe you? Are you drying up spiritually and wasting your life away? Are you out of the will of God? Let me ask, what are you doing there? Why are you out of God's will? Get back in the Word of God again. Get back to God and then walk with God again. When you fall down spiritually speaking, we're to get back up. Amen? So why did Elijah head toward Mount Horeb? Mount Horeb was the ancient name of Mount Sinai. When you hear Mount Horeb, think Mount Sinai. It is also called the Mountain of God. This was the place of the burning bush where Moses was called by God in Exodus 3:1. This was also the place that God gave Israel water from the rock in Exodus 17 and verse 6. And this is the place where Moses received the law of God in Exodus 19. Now, we're not told Elijah's thinking here, but perhaps Elijah hoped to receive something from God in this place like Moses did. Listen, it took 40 days for him to get to Mount Horeb, which was about a 200-mile trip. Now, normally this would take about 15 to 20 days. Do you think the problem might be that Elijah was lacking in enthusiasm here? We don't know, but just remember, this is the same guy who ran 20 miles and beat Ahab's horses and chariots back from Mount Carmel to Jezreel. It really appears as though he is just dragging himself to Mount Horeb. What I do know is that when we get out of the will of God, we're not as effective as we once were, especially for the Lord. We make more mistakes. We waste more of our life. Listen, our life also affects others when we get out of God's will. I want you to think about this. By running, that great revival that Elijah saw on Mount Carmel kind of wound up losing some of its momentum while Elijah was AWOL. I mean, he got this revival started, and then he turned tails and runs. Don't you imagine that Elijah's sudden departure would have been discouraging to the people of Israel who had cried out, "The Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God"? I'm pretty sure it was discouraging to them, but it would have been a delight for Jezebel. When we get out of God's will, listen, we discourage other believers, especially new believers. And we delight the enemies of God, so we ought not to do that. Third thing that we see here is the Lord challenged Elijah, the caveman here. Look at verse number 9. It says, "He came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, some slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Elijah went from being a prophet to being a caveman. The Lord spoke to him with a question that should have gotten his attention. The Lord got right to the point. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Listen, depression can get a person into the wrong place, and Elijah is in the wrong place in his heart and mind. God did not want Elijah in this cave. Did you notice all the eyes in verse 10? When we aren't in a good place, we get self-centered rather than God-centered. And that is what we see here in Elijah's life. Fear and loneliness still have a grip on Elijah. What God has done for him in the past seems to have escaped him at this moment. Instead, all he can see are his perceived problems. Elijah brings up Israel's recent past. He talks about how they forsook the Word of God. In other words, God's covenant. When you forsake the Word, it leads to the next point. They forsook the worship of God. They forsook the altars of God. When people leave God's will, they blame their problems. On the third point, they forsook the workers of God, the prophets, the pastor or other Christians a lot of times are blamed for problems when the real problem is found in the fact that folks forsake the Word of God and forsake the worship of God. Now all this was true prior to Mount Carmel. But what about the revival of Mount Carmel? Who forsook who after that? He is the one that forsook the people of Israel and left them to Ahab and Jezebel. Fourth thing I want you to see here is we see the Lord's revelation to Elijah there in verses 11 through 14. Let's read verse 11. And he said, "Go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, and thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now, understand that as we look at this, that it appears that Elijah didn't get it. At least not until he had time to meditate upon it later. Elijah was told to stand upon the mount, and the Lord passed by him. Strong wind divided the mountains and the rocks, but the Lord was not in the strong wind. The earth quaked, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Fire comes down, think lightning, falls from the Lord. The Lord was not in that either at this time. We know that the Lord was in the fire that came down from Mount Carmel. Amen. But not here. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice. God spoke to Elijah in this voice. And Elijah wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the opening of the cave. And then in a still, small voice, the whisper of a wondrous God challenges him again here. What doest thou here, Elijah? And when we think, listen, that we see Elijah come to his senses at this time, he doesn't. In fact, it appears that he doesn't get it at all, at least not initially, because he gives the Lord the same lame, self-centered answer that he gave him the first time. When we think about the voice of the Lord, we know the voice of the Lord scared and convicted Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:8. We know from Ezekiel 43 and verse 2 that the voice of the Lord was full of majesty and power. But here the voice of the Lord quietly whispers to Elijah to help Elijah get back to where he needs to be. The fact that the Lord spoke in a still, small voice teaches several truths here. First, just because something is small and quiet does not mean that God's not in it. Bigness does not necessarily mean God's presence. It is not the criteria by which we are to judge a work, whether it is of God or not. A work is not to be measured by wind, earthquake, fire, or by the bombastic and sensational things. It is to be measured by the Word of God. God is not interested in turning heads, but in turning hearts. Listen, God can use a small church like ours, yielded to Him and His Word, and He can use a small, quiet Christian who speaks up for God when it's time to speak. If you're facing depression and discouragement, you'll find the Lord will speak to you in those quiet times with Him if you will let Him just get with God. Get along with God. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. We see in verse 15, we see Elijah's next assignments from the Lord. In fact, we'll see it in verses 15 through verse number 18. Look at verse 15 verses. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Eloa, shall anoint to be prophet in thy room. In other words, he's going to be anointed to take Elijah's place. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. God said for Elijah that he should go to Damascus and anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. Now, Hazael would be a rod that God would use to punish Israel for having worshipped Baal. He would be a brutal butcher, according to 2 Kings 8, and verse number 12. It says there, and Hazael said, why weepeth my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with a sword, and will dash their children and rip up their women with child. God got Elijah out of the depression by getting him busy with a new assignment and goals. Listen, getting busy for God can be a great help to lift us up when we are low too. There in verses 16 through 18, Elijah was to anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. Jehu would be the tool of chastening upon Ahab's house. We will see when we get into 2 Kings 9 that Jehu will kill Ahab's son Jehoram. 2 Kings 9:24 says, and Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. Jehu will order Jezebel thrown out of a window. In 2 Kings chapter number 9, verses 33 through 35. We'll not take time to read that. That's in some future lessons. And he would have the remainder of Ahab's family and friends destroyed. It says in 2 Kings 10:11, so Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men and his kinfolks and his priests, until he left him none remaining. Elijah was also to anoint Elisha as his successor. Listen, after the Lord gave Elijah his assignment, he enlightened him by telling him he was not alone as he thought he was. Elijah thought he was all alone in Israel when it came to following the Lord. But the Lord revealed to Elijah that there were 7,000 others who had not worshipped Baal or kissed Baal. So Elijah was wrong in his two pity parties when he said what he had said in verse number 10, verse 14, when he said, and I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. We might say, Elijah, get off your high horse. Because you may think that you had it all right, but on this count, you were wrong. Elijah had wanted the Lord to be done with him. But listen, the Lord is the one that gets to choose when He is done with us. So, as they say, suck it up, buttercup, and just stay busy for the Lord until He comes and calls us home. Amen? We need to stay busy for the Lord. So that's our Bible study for this evening. And in my closing, I just want to encourage you to stay close to the Lord. Get in the Word of God. Maybe you've gotten away from the Scripture and personal Bible reading and study, let me encourage you to draw near to the Lord so that He will draw near to you during this time that is no fun to any of us. Just pray that the Lord will continue to protect our folks. Let's pray one for another. Let's make sure that we are taking a look at the prayer list, praying. Pray especially for our missionaries who are in difficult circumstances. I know several families came home off the field and because of certain issues that they were having to deal with. And many left the furlough and went back to the field. Pray. Look at the requests there on both the regular prayer list and also on the missionary prayer list. And let's pray for the needs. And let's pray that God would have His way in our own lives. He hadn't forsaken us. He's still right here with us. I believe God has a will through all of this. I think maybe we'll gain a greater appreciation for the house of God. Some have gotten slack in their faithfulness and attendance. Some have gotten slack in their faithfulness to the Lord Himself. Let's get back to where we need to be. Let's let this be a time of reviving, a time of rejuvenation for us, just like we saw Elijah's rejuvenation here in 1 Kings 19, verses 4 through 18. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for the great examples that You give to us in Scripture. And Lord, just as You took Elijah, as he was supposedly down and out there in his life and getting to the point where he just really just wanted to check out. And we might have some folks that are just about to that point. I know that we're all praying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to not quit on You. Lord, help us to realize that if we're still here, there You've still got something for us to do. And Lord, we are still here. We may not be in the church house, but we are still here on planet Earth. And the Lord has something that He wants from us, that He would desire for us to do, and that is to listen to His still small voice at this time and be obedient to Him. And Lord, we pray that You might give us Your touch, the same way that You touched Elijah. You touched him. And You fed him. Lord, touch us and feed us spiritually. Help us to eat spiritually that we might go in the strength of that. And Lord, we're being asked to go another 30 days. We know that Elijah went 40 days and 40 nights with his physical bread. Lord, help us with our spiritual bread to be able to endure this next 30 days that we're being asked to do. And Lord, we just look to You, and Lord, help us to examine ourselves and ask ourselves the question, what are we doing here, where we're at? Is the Lord pleased with where we are and what we're doing in our lives? Lord, help us to realize that You do have a will for our life. And Lord, help us to submit ourselves to Your will. Lord, be with our folks. Protect them. Be with their families. Protect them. Lord, help us as we come out on the other side of this, whenever that may be, for it to be a time, Lord, of change, Lord, that we might come out better than what we went in. And Lord, that we might come with a clearer view of You and Your will for our lives. Just bless our folks now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.